Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And now you're listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1039. This is your host, Danny Pena, and I'm going to be doing multiple episodes on my own for now because it's Father's Day on Sunday. We're not doing a live recording of GTR. Plus, I've been recording extra content for the past week or so because I want us to take a little break during Father's Day. And once we come back, Thursday is going to be a big day, June 25th, because that is when CD Projekt Red is going to finally show Cyberpunk 2077, Night City Wire. So if you don't know, Paris Lilly, our co-host, is going to be co-hosting the live stream on IGN.com. So make sure to tune in, check it out. We're also going to be planning to stream that event on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Once the event is over, Paris has to do a post show with IGN, and once he is done, he's going to join us and we're going to do a roundtable discussion, everything we got to see about the game, and we're going to release it here on Gamer Tag Radio. So stay tuned because I'm excited. I hope you're excited too. So this was going to happen. I am planning to release every day from now to Monday a brand new episode for the whole weekend. So today, the first episode we're going to release is I sat down with Gabe from 368. We had a great, great discussion about what is 368? Because everybody sees me tweeting about it. I'm also, you know, creating content from there, and they've done events in the past and so on. And I just want to talk to Gabe about it, man, because a lot of people don't know about 368, and it has a pretty cool history. And of course, I asked them about PlayStation 5 because that recording was right after the PlayStation 5 reveal. So I hope everybody enjoys that episode. But before I play the audio, this is your opportunity to send us voice messages, email, tweets, whatever. Just send it to us so we could read it or play your voicemail on our special fan mail episode coming up very soon. I have a lot of content coming up for that. But please send it. We want everybody from around the world to call us, tell us your name, where you're from, ask us a question. Make sure that it's less than a minute so we could, you know, play your audio and we could have that discussion. If it's like 3 minutes, it's just going to be too much for us. So the more you send us, the better it is, man. The better the content it is. So here's how you, the listener, can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
You could also go to gamertagradio.com and listen to our past episodes. Let's say Monday, you're listening to the most recent episode on that day. Go back. I already released a couple episodes, man. This week, we posted three. We're going to post three more this whole weekend. And who knows next week? Because, look, we're not at E3. E3, usually I post 50-something episodes in 6 days. But this is what we're doing right now, digitally. So, and it's great. It's been great. Great conversation. So today is going to be about Gabe, 368. Tomorrow, roundtable discussion with the return of Tony Polanco from Throwdown Podcast. Shout out to Tony, man. We had a great conversation about PlayStation 5. That one we recorded through Zoom. The quality is a little bit different than the local audio that I usually release, but it's good to hear. Great content. And make sure to listen to it and let us know. All right, and then Monday, 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to release another interview. Look, back-to-back podcast episodes, man. With the co-creator of Halo Universe, and also he was the former creative director at Bungie, and he was responsible for Master Chief, and he is the president and game director at V1 Interactive, Marcus Lito. We had a great conversation about the new game, Disintegration. But this time, I wanted something different. We sat down and we talked a lot about behind the scenes. How was it? Yeah, we talked a little bit about the game, but it was more about how was it working on that game with new developers, with legendary developers that worked on other games, you know, industry veterans. So get ready. Look, we're going to go all out with content. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that been subscribing, listening to us, posting on Twitter, Discord, everything about the show. It means a lot to us. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue posting nonstop content. And here's the first interview with Gabe at 368. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
How you doing? I'm doing good.
Good, man. Good. Podcaster?
Content creator? Yes. Content creator. And trying, aspiring. This is like maybe like the ninth attempt in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right now we have a show called Super Late at 368, which is our late night. It's not our attempt. We're trying to make gaming's first real late night show, like something that could be like a Fallon or a Kimmel, et cetera. And right now we're just like, with the quarantine and such, we've been like trying to play around with that format and figure out how it works and how it makes sense. Yeah. So that's what we've been doing a lot of. And just trying to foster and grow the gamer community in New York City, the gamer creator community in New York City.
Yeah. So how long you been working here, man? Like, or after?
So 368 has been around for about 2 years. And for those who don't know, it's a company that was founded by Casey Neistat and his partner, Paul Lace. They both run this space. And if you don't know who Casey Neistat is for some reason, clearly you don't live on the internet. But he's an amazing YouTuber. He snowboarded through New York City. You've probably seen it. Or he's rolled through Manhattan on a boosted board, a whole bunch of stuff. So this was his initiative to create a space, because I don't know if you've ever seen the YouTube creator space that you could get access to if you have X amount of subs or whatever. The place is great, but it kind of sucks at the same time. And I feel like this is like that on steroids, because you can come here, you can get access to like high-tech equipment, you can play games, you can do anything you want content-wise. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just get inside the space somehow, find out, be a friend or whatever. I started working here in November because a former employee used to work here, Colin. You know, I like 368 started 2 years ago, and then they started doing a lot of gaming events, and they started doing a lot of stuff with EA, like Apex, Battlefield, etc. And I got a relationship with Colin, and for the past year I have been doing like different gaming gigs. Like I did some things with the leaderboard, with Frederator, worked with NYXL, worked with just Anbox in general, worked with Cheddar Esports, RIP, it's gone now.
Yeah, we've done stuff for
that. Where we know each other from.
Yeah.
And I would just text Colin like, yo, you guys should do this thing, right? Like, I'm like, when COD came out, I was like, yo, dude, you should get all the hot ones, hot sauces, and have a race to a nuke challenge. Put some absurd prize, whatever. But the way it's set up is that it's 1v1, and you only get like 10, because there's only 10 hot sauces, right? You're going to get 10 attempts. And every time you die, the hot sauces get hotter. And it's just like, no one was going to really get this nuke. It was going to be suffering, but it was just like one idea. Or like I had one thing for like a Minecraft charity where I was like, yo, this is when Mr. Beast was doing team trees a lot. He's still doing it, but he's planting a whole bunch of trees for every tree you donate. Minecraft challenge, very simple. Everybody who comes into the space and chops down a tree, like if we could partner with Microsoft, ideal scenario, we'll plant that every one of those trees in real life. Yeah. So I was like, so then like Colin was like, well, in order for me to do all these things, I need somebody to like help me work. And I was just like, well, I'm free, so what's up? And then just somehow got a job here through the graces of whoever. Yeah, and then been writing it ever since.
Yeah, that's very cool. I know we've done stuff on Cheddar Esports and stuff. Do you see this also as like an esports spot, like for people to compete or watch esports events here or something? Because I know you guys done like a lot of like get together meetups in the past. I know we're in a different situation right now with COVID and stuff, but is it for that too?
It can be anything it needs to be for whatever it is at the time.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people can look at it as, oh, it's like an esports or LAN center, because we've done a lot of gaming events and they're pretty casual gaming events, like come make clips, do this, do that. And I think the best example of it being used for esports was when we had Fortnite World Cup. And like Team Liquid was screaming their team out of here. I forgot who else was screaming their team out of here, because there's not many places you can, like, when there's a tournament happening, you can have your professional team practice. There's just like New York City is very limited on space. And of course, all the facilities in LA, and as more events are coming to New York, that place, that kind of thing needs to be filled. And you have another option, which is OS, which is great, but OS is open to the public. So you'd have to rent that whole place out entirely to use that space. Whereas here is like, there's three floors, right? Like, this is specifically for a gaming studio. You could be like, yo, I'm going to go hang out at 368. It's low key. It's off the street. You have to know it's here. It feels very private, very intimate. It's kind of like the Soho House of gaming. So you come in and you just like play, and like, you're not going to be bothered by somebody. Not saying it's bad to be bothered by like some 5-7-year-old kid, but if you got TSM Myth practicing for something, he's like, eh, it's like, it's not really what I want. So like, that's kind of like what I see it offering in the esports space.
Yeah, I came here a couple of times. I know it was like a monthly meetup. One was during the Super Bowl. That was pretty cool. Yep. A lot of people here. And I know you guys done meetups. People could come here and just network. Free food, free drinks. That's the bomb, man, right? That's the best. And I met a lot of local gamers here, man.
Yeah.
They're not content creators, just fans of games, and they're fans of you guys. And it was a very cool vibe being here and seeing that, you know what I'm saying? So, and I know you guys have done other top events. I know you said about Madden, EA, right? Madden?
Yeah, we've done stuff like with
that.
Madden.
Yeah, so are we going to see more of that in the future? I know now we're in like in a different situation now, but I think it would be cool to do that once again, man. Smaller crowd?
Yeah. I mean, in an ideal scenario, we would do it again. I think that I can't say for sure what's going to happen because we don't know what's going to happen. I think that the situation that everybody's been put into, especially like you have OS, you have Helix, all these places that are just like meetups for gamers, is that we're all going to have to take a step back and see how like we make these places safer for that, because we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe COVID becomes COVID-20. And it's a whole other thing now, right? So we have to take like necessary precautions, because the big issue with New York was that it's easy to spread stuff from New York because everybody rides the train. It's not like Cali, right? Like, people who have mad money don't ride the train in Cali. Like, in New York, everybody, if Jay-Z rode the train once, like, everybody rides the train together in New York. Like, we're all like this one big, like, unified people in that way. So like, things can spread easy. So like, you know, we have to take a little bit of a more of an approach. I think that will be more of a, which we're equipped to really be, we're like a production studio, right? Like, we're a content house. So we'll probably do more things like that, one-off things. Like, you know how you hit me up, you were like, yo, I got to shoot this thing with my team to do the Sony review that I'm pretty sure we're getting to later.
Yeah, PlayStation 5. Yeah.
And you know, you hit me up to do that, right? And that's kind of the things we like to do, was like those intimate, like one-on-one creator experiences, and like just support those people in those kinds of ways. So we'll see what happens. I would love to get back to it. My ideal would be to start, and I'm not going to say my own, but to start a 368 team, but not like a team in the esports, like a creator team, like how 100 Thieves has its creator team, which is like, you know, Courage and Valkyrie and all of them. Have a version of that for New York, because I think that when you look at New York, what it lacks is that it doesn't have like actual creator, like there's not really many gaming creators that are like really well known in New York. Like, there's some that you may know if you're like in the community, etc. But we need to try to build that, right? Because that's something that's missing in here. And a creative team is a very great way. Like, I would do like a dumb NBA draft, like with our first pick we pick out of Brooklyn, da da da. Like, I would do some doofy content series around that and just have fun around it, because gaming content, I feel, has such the lowest ceiling. Like, everybody's super. I can't curse on this.
It's fine.
Okay, yeah, I'm not curse. Yeah. It's like super low in terms of seeing, like, people will just stay at home and just, they could just like, why would I go do anything for creation? I could just play at home and make my content, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out like how we can like up that level.
And you know what? I think also it might be that maybe they are content creators, but we don't know, because they're home. They don't go out. They don't network. They don't talk about it. They just do everything from their room.
Yeah.
So that's possible too.
Yeah.
So I think the goal is to talk more about this, so other people that had never heard of this location, they could come here and check it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, like outside of just like the gaming aspect of 368, it's like a full creator house, right? So it's like I was mentioning earlier, you know, we have a whole camera cage with B&H where we have all types of camera gear. So for like any creative aspect, we have like seamlesses in the back to shoot like any weird, doofy GIF you want to do. So it's like we're a full suite content house. It's not just gaming. It's every aspect of content creation that could happen. And, you know, I want people to be able to like use those tools to their fullest and like start thinking with their heads like, yo, like I can finally do the thing. I can finally make that movie I wanted to make. How do I do that, right? And I think that's the most important thing is like giving people access to tools so their brain starts working. Like, you know, I got fire now. I made the wheel. I can do this now. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the other day we did a charity event. Charity team,
and yes, we had a lot of creators.
We had a lot of content creators from all over the U.S., also locally here in New York and New Jersey. That was a pretty cool experience. I think I would like to do more of that with you guys, man, in the future, man. So how was it for you guys? Was this your first charity event for 368?
For 368 that I know of, since I've been here, yes, this was our first charity event. It may have been something like before. I know we've done a lot of things with like the Boys and Girl Club, with like getting like toys and stuff like that and donations for other things. But our first like Twitch stream, like kind of gaming ish sort of charity stream. And I mean, I've been on charity streams before. This one was, I mean, we put it together in a week. Like literally it was like, hey, we need to do this, right? Because we had all the things going on with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, George Floyd, all the things happening right now at this time. And we were like, we don't want to be another company that, I'm not gonna say that companies are doing this wrong, but when we wanted to speak, we wanted to say we're doing these things. We're not just saying this is wrong and then that's it. Like, no, this
taking
is
action.
Exactly, taking action. Taking immediate action. So we rushed to put this together. I would have liked to have 2 weeks to like really prep for it and get everything set up. But you know, our team, Zune, Justin, and Brandon, from Cheddar, all came together. We came up with this like Mickey Mouse producer studio in the back.
Hey, but it was cool. I had fun. Like I did my segment. I did it with Akila Hughes.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a lot of fun. We were talking a lot about like podcasting, and she started asking me questions about gaming. We're like, all right, talk about games. All right, let's do this. You know, but it was fun, and I hope that, I mean, for like a week preparation, like it was good. It was good. I know it could have been better, but. Yeah, it was awesome.
I believe we want to do more, and we should do more of We the Creators, because we are this place where like gaming meets filmmaking and filmmaking meets music and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. So to be that voice and that space for creators. And maybe we'll figure out some other ways to do charitable things. Like maybe we create like some interesting like creator fund that like we like, maybe like a scholarship, like 368 scholarship or something like that.
That would be awesome.
That can support like creators who don't really have access to like tools, or like who aren't in New York, you know, who are like in Detroit or like Wyoming, you know, figuring that out. So yeah.
Yeah. You know what I love so much about this place? It's because when I started, there was nothing like this before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like years ago, the early days. And having this opportunity for someone, especially here in New York, there's a lot of people that just don't have the funds to buy a computer.
No, of course not. It's a premium.
Equipment. Yeah, and this is like the perfect opportunity
to
come and try to create content from here, man. You know, like, and I think you're good. We need more of that, especially for people that just don't have the income. You
know? Yeah, like in New York, it's a thing where you're probably going to work two or three jobs maybe if you didn't get like some sort of vocation, like a welder or electrician or plumbing, or you're working in medical, or if you didn't make some decisions to like have a really good paying job, you're probably going to be working two or three jobs, right? It's just the nature of New York. It's the most, one of the, if not the most expensive place in the States, besides maybe Hawaii or something like that. And You gotta, it's like you get the PlayStation instead of the PC, because the PC is gonna cost you $1,000 to have something good. And this microphone I'm talking to right now is $400, like you said. Yeah. And one of the cool things about this space, which was why I'm so in love with it from when I got involved, was like everything is free. Like we don't charge somebody to use a mic. We don't charge somebody to come play games or stream. It's all about getting rid of the barriers for creators to be able to do their thing, which is the most important. Always been the thing, right? It's like if you wanted to be a filmmaker, you needed to get a camera. If you wanted to be a
photographer,
you need to get a camera. Yeah. If you want to be a singer, you got to get a mic or like a guitar or whatever. So it's making those tools more accessible to people. And yeah.
Yeah. My last question, is there any cool stories of like content creators that came here?
This is your last question? How long is this
No, last question about this.
Oh, I was about to say, this is a quick interview.
No. So was there any like content creators that came here that
They didn't have the equipment, not known. And they came here and they created some content and it just went viral. They became big, or it helped them to get more subscribers or followers.
So that I know of, I came when it became more of a gaming heavy focus. I'm sure there's some like creator stories. Like perfect example, we have, this is actually a great example. You met her yesterday, Moonbear. She's a creator here. Now in this last year, she's gotten her own HBO series called The Bettys, which is about skate culture in New York City and being a woman of color in New York City and being in that scene. And she got her own HBO show. And I don't think Moonbear's not even like 25.
That's crazy.
And like, which is amazing. Yeah. And she's used like all our creator stuff and all that. And we have a bunch of partners. I think our most direct thing is our B&H program, which is like people like borrow cameras and stuff. And we have people that who have made like really great videos and stuff like that. What we do really well is that when we have like interesting partnerships, like with like, let's say Google, you know, we try to bring in those creators who come to the space and like that generates them revenue and stuff like that, because it's an opportunity to work with a brand, et cetera, if they're like the right fit, blah, 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 blah. But there's also, so the most direct way I've seen that people have like blown up from here, and I use that, you know, with like air quotes and stuff, so we had an Apex, I think, launch event. I don't know if that was for season 2 or season 1. It was $10,000 prize. I wasn't here, but this is what was going on.
$10,000.
A lot of money for something that's not... That's a major tournament money.
Yeah.
So we had that $10,000 tournament. And one of my friends won. My friend Magic's Abe. He won it. He won it with another person. And then there was... I forget the guy's name, and I'm sorry I forgot it. But he won in that tournament. He was one part of the winning team. Mm-hmm. And now he's an actual pro, and he's like... Twitch streamer. He's signed to a team. He's doing his thing. I'm sorry if I forget your name. I apologize.
It's all good.
It's like I literally just saw a photo of him the other day wearing a 368 Legends shirt, and I was just like, God damn, like what?
Yeah.
But that is an example of like someone who's went from like, oh, I just went to this local tournament to like now I'm on this bigger scene in like the community and such.
Yeah. So Gabe, man, let's talk about gaming, man. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X coming out this year. You were here when I was watching PlayStation 5. I know you're a fan of that. Are you more PlayStation, Xbox, or PC?
So for story-based games, it's absolutely PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. That guy has.
It's not even like historically, period. But I think that my fondest memories... And this is a very long way for me to answer the question. Yeah. My fondest memories that I remember were playing on Xbox Live and Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. But I would always say I'd be a PlayStation guy. But that's not a take from Xbox at all, because I think that Xbox, not now, but Xbox 360, when it came out, that was very powerful and very like huge moment in gaming. And maybe it's because we didn't really have access to like all the tools we have now, that it was very magic. Like it was like that time was magical. And playing the games like COD and Halo and like multiplayer was all great. Long answer, but definitely PlayStation.
PlayStation, okay. So, was there anything that got your attention for the PlayStation 5?
I mean, we spoke about it a couple days ago, and I was like, they're probably gonna do like a nostalgic, like, oh, this game's coming back, and you know, we both called it. They were gonna do Horizon, and they got a new Horizon coming out. I forget the name.
Horizon Forbidden West.
That is, of course, the most interesting game, because Horizon Zero Dawn was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see if they take that.
Great story.
Spider-Man was dope, because I love Miles Morales. And I was like, okay. But you had a really great point where you said that just looks like a game that was supposed to come on PlayStation 4 mm-hmm. that they pushed to 5.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to a friend of mine. He has a podcast too. And he said, most likely that game will also come up for PlayStation 4 and have it for PlayStation 5. So, yeah.
It's like, it's that situation where it's, I have this conversation with Bijan almost religiously on every episode of Super Late, where I'm like, and I mentioned it to you before we got on here a little while ago, I said that now the technology is so good that any improvement is so marginal that it's just like, why would I get the new console when I have a PC that has like a 2080 Ti in it? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I'm going to spend, like, this console's probably going to cost around, like, $500, right? Mm-hmm. After taxes, maybe $550, maybe $600, depending on what it's going to be. There's two versions, one with a CD drive and then one without a CD drive. And, you know, the CD drive is going to be the one that costs more. Oh, yeah, because, you know, it has a CD drive. We got to charge more. That's another $100. I was like, dude, it really costs that much money to put that CD drive in there? Mm-hmm. I think that one of my theories is that since the things are so close now, and since there's going to be a lot of games appearing on the PlayStation 4, and there's going to be a lot of games coming on Xbox One still that are going to be cross-platform, that next gen is going to be held back overall, because people are going to be thinking, how can we, and this is because Fortnite completely changed the game, which is like, we're going to be able to access this game anywhere on any device in the world, right? So now developers are thinking, how can we make our game most accessible? Not like, let's make the best game possible just for this one thing, which is great, but I feel like it's going to hold things back in the future.
But it's the same thing with PC though. Yeah, and I know we had this conversation. I said the same thing to you. Like, yo, but PC have been doing that for years. So what is the difference? Developers are still creating great games.
Yeah.
Using that, like, just trying to get the opportunity for everybody. It doesn't matter what type of PC they have. It could be low-end, high-end. You know what I'm saying? So,
but, like, with PC, that's such a built-in thing, a part of the ecosystem. Like, it's always been like that. And you could always, like, change your specs. You can make it run better. You can always upgrade this part. Whereas, like, with consoles, you've always been locked into, like, this is what you can do on this thing, because you can't just change out motherboards and, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. So the point that it's, like, if these games, like, as a developer, of course, there'll probably be only PlayStation 5 exclusives. Or maybe they won't. We don't know yet. Like, they didn't say anything was super exclusive. So then what's the point in buying this console then? It, like, with you, you had a very beautiful point where you were like, Xbox is not trying to sell. Microsoft's not trying to sell Xboxes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, they care about the subscription services.
Yeah. I mean, you have a PC. You don't need to buy an Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
As long you buy from their store, part of the system, or signed to their Xbox Game Pass, you're good.
Yeah, all these games are developed on PC. Like,
yeah,
any game that's Horizon Zero Dawn, you can play on PC. Like, there's no... So,
well, they haven't officially, like, mentioned, like, okay, this is it. Like, most likely, I know in a couple days, PC game show is happening.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if you see Sony on stage. Hey, we're going to have Horizon Zero Dawn for PC. Here you go. Like,
yeah, they unveiled their own PlayStation Game Pass.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but it's more of like showing their games that came out for PlayStation 4. The reason why companies are doing that is because they want to have that new audience to start playing their games. You become a fan. You could play more of these games.
Come on,
PlayStation 5. You know, like, that's the reason why they're doing that. It's the same thing like Nintendo. They started doing mobile games here and there.
Yeah.
Because they want to get that mobile audience to buy the Switch. It's the same exact thing.
But the Switch is like the perfect example of a console that's 100% worth it. You get, it comes with you wherever you go. And the games on the Switch, you don't get on any other platform. And even though they could probably run on any other platform, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like, they focus so, like, Nintendo is so focused on gameplay experiences more so than like narrative, which is like always been the thing. Like, if the gameplay is amazing, you don't care about the graphics, you don't care about the story. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I don't know where I'm going with this point, but but I know for a fact that I'm not, based upon what they showed at launch for PlayStation, mm-hmm. I'm not buying one.
Yeah, you got to see the design. Yep.
Yeah, the wireless router. What the hell is that? I'm looking at that thing like, yo, who approved this? What about this design makes this a better console? Like, does the white things coming out, are they better Wi-Fi connectivity? Are those antennas? I don't know. I look at the thing, I'm like, I'm never going to stand this up. So why is it ready? Why
you're going to put it?
I'm probably never going to get it, first of all.
You're not going to get a PlayStation 5 as a fan of PlayStation, really?
Listen. When you do two dramatic things like that, like, see, I love my iPhone because my iPhone is the same design every year, just marginally different. You can't just go from the PS4 design, which is clean, to the PlayStation 5.
You have the Pro?
Yeah, I have the Pro.
Okay.
I've had every iteration of every PlayStation, and every iteration of every PlayStation, whether it be from the fat to the slim, has always been good. This is the worst design ever in gaming, period. There's
really?
Straight up.
I won't say the worst, but it looks, to me, it looks weird. It's a weird.
What's worse than this?
I mean, yo, this. I mean, I can't top of the head. I can't think of it right now. But
I'm gonna pull up a photo while you're thinking about that. I'm gonna show you some.
Well, Atari Jaguar was pretty freaking ugly. That was a very ugly console.
But for that time period, like, design wasn't really, it didn't really matter about design, so you can excuse it. But today, aesthetics matter. aesthetics 100% matter.
Well, you know what? Well, it's not the design of a console, but do you remember the PlayStation 3 boomerang controller?
Ugly.
They never released it.
Smart. Yeah. Well, look. So right now I'm showing Danny a photo of what the PlayStation looks like. It's literally a router between two pieces of mail. And there's another one. There's another one here. First of all, you got one with Seto Kaiba on top of
it. It's hilarious.
Yo. And there's this crazy one. This, like, absolute, like it was so hilarious. First of all, this one right here. This kid looking like he's about to sell you some car insurance.
Oh my God. What?
I'm trying to find. Okay, so I won't be able to find it, but if you look it up, you'll see. Literally, somebody took a PlayStation 2 and they put it between a white binder.
Wow, man.
So
now you messed me up. Now seeing that, like, you completely messed me up.
It's a terrible design. It looks like something out of WALL-E just got mixed matched. I look at it, I'm just like, who approved this? And first of all, you're from Japan, right? Japan is all about aesthetics. Right? Everything's gotta be perfect, everything's gotta be beautiful. Da-da-da.
And small.
Everything's gotta just elegant, nice, right?
Yeah.
They have a place in Japan called Kojima Japan, the land of holy jeans. That's the mindset. This is the place that makes JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, okay? Mm-hmm. And you put out that ugly console. The Xbox looks like a giant fridge, but I can get behind the Xbox. I can get behind the fridge box.
But you know, a couple of things I was talking with my co-host and also my friend with Tony. For Paris, he was like, okay, so how you could cool down the console? There's a lot of... It's too thin, and it's a very strong, powerful console.
Yeah.
Is that going to heat up? Is that one of those, like, you take it to your house, inside your room, and the whole room get hot?
I feel like that every day right now on my PC.
Oh, my God. Now, another thing is...
I saw no vents on it.
No, they had, like, a lot of...
Micro?
Too many. My boy was telling the same thing. Like, he said, Tony was like, it's easier for dust to go inside, man. So my problem that I had with the PlayStation 4,
mm-hmm.
quiet, silent.
Yeah.
Right? Start playing it, and then months, years later, it sounds...
You can't get the dust out.
So is it going to be the same thing like that for this one? Like, I don't know. I have a lot of questions, man. But I can wait until 2021. I don't have to buy day one.
You know? I don't know why they just didn't keep the PlayStation 4 design. The PlayStation 4 design was amazing. It was a very great design. Like, I look at...
Original or the Pro?
I mean...
Even the Slim version.
I mean, all versions of it are good. I mean, the Pro was just two PlayStation 4 slapped together.
Yeah.
Like, any version of it is good. Even the PlayStation 3 had a really great design. PlayStation 2 had a great design. PlayStation 1 had a great design. PSP, great design.
Out of all of them, which one is your favorite design of all of them?
All the PlayStation consoles?
All the PlayStation consoles.
Including the handhelds?
Yeah.
Probably the Vita.
Vita? Okay.
100%. If the Vita had to happen for the Switch to happen, like, and that's how important the Vita was and is, and people don't give it as just due respect.
It was a very well-designed, and it had potential. I just feel like it needed more content.
Yeah. And
there was a lot of indie content, but, like, I'm talking about AAA, big companies. It wasn't that many.
Right now, like what was so great about the PSP before the PS Vita was that, you know, of course, when we finally got to jailbreak it, when you manned up and said, all right, I'm gonna mess with my device, you got access to this incredible library of games in Japan. And there was this great community where people would translate games for you, and you put the patch in, you got to translate Japanese game. It's great. That kind of thing is now happening now, where, like, people, because the games are being made for the Vita in Japan, not necessarily America, but now it's all dating games. It's all, like, social RPG, like, your best attempt at a bad persona. Mm-hmm. And, like, it just shows, like, how IP really matters. Because the device, everything, the way it felt, the carry, the double joysticks, the screen, if you could dock it.
Even the battery life was pretty good.
It was an amazing device.
I had a Vita, and I bought Uncharted. And I can't remember what else I bought, but that was, like, my first game.
Yeah.
And after a while, I was like, okay, I'm waiting for new games. I remember being at E3, and it was announced, a new Bioshock is coming out.
Yeah.
New Call of Duty.
Yeah.
First of all, Bioshock never came out. Call of Duty was trash.
Yeah.
For this console. And after that, I was like, all right, I was just buying indie games. That was the best device for indie games.
Yeah.
After that, That's it.
It was
Persona.
Persona was a banger on that.
Banger. I had that game too.
Yeah, and that changed the way I looked at RPGs. Where I'm like, do I want to sit down and play RPGs, or do I want to lay on my back and play RPGs? And I was like, I think every RPG should come out on a mobile device, whether it be a Switch now or PlayStation Vita 2. Who knows what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
There was a point I wanted to bring up. I lost it. It was about the PS Vita. Damn it. It's gone.
It's all good. It's good. No, but I get what you're saying. I just it had potential, and I don't know. But I honestly want places to just focus on their console. I don't want them to do handheld anymore. Like, you know what? Because here's the thing that I don't want, man. The worst thing is you could do is buy a device or buy a console that everybody's excited about, and there's no content. So I feel like I wasted my money. Like, I sold my PlayStation Vita. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. Like, yo, I need to buy games for my PlayStation 4, an Xbox. Yeah, it's like, I feel like I wasted my time, man.
Yeah, I mean, now I remember the point. It was just, what was so cool about the Vita also is that on top of its potential, it was only, but like, I'm not going to say only, but like, but it was to a degree almost as strong as like a PS3 would be. Like, it was getting there in terms of power. Like, the Switch is great, but the Switch is still pretty like weak in comparison to like what's like out there. Like, it's maybe like PS3 level in terms of like graphics and da da da. And like, you know, as I hope a Switch Pro comes out, because like that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Best
console. Yeah, for sure.
Like,
hands down.
With these games now, I think the point when they're making consoles, like, hey, we want to pump specs up so we can get better graphics, better this, better that. I like when I saw the trailer for Hell's Blade.
Oh my god, for the Xbox One? Yeah. Xbox Series X?
Yeah.
Oh my god. The Hellblade 2.
Yeah, the new one's coming out. Oof. I saw that and I was freaking out, because I'm just like, okay, this is just too realistic. Because like, she was screaming,
yo, it looks like a person like with makeup was
like standing there. And I was like, with a 4K camera, like everything. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't need my games to look like this.
Yeah.
Because like, I saw the Resident Evil trailer and I was like, oh, I'm not playing it.
But you know what's crazy thinking about that? I watch every single trailer that they show for this reveal. It might change for next one. There wasn't a game like that from PlayStation 5. Not even one. There was, I think, the closest that I was like, man, this looks like next gen was Ratchet and Clank game, the brand new one. Wow, that looks good for what it is. It's more cartoony.
Wouldn't be my first pick.
I'll pick that. No, honestly, like, out of all the games, I'm like, yo, this game, legit. But there was none like Hellblade. None.
No, yeah, Hellblade came in strong. Game. When Xbox debuted, when they did the announcement for Xbox and that came in, it was like, yo, what am I looking at?
That
like,
looks. But again, you have your PC. You could get that game on the PC. And you're good.
Now, I think that, you know, a lot of people expected, because we talked about like how it just didn't feel like this press. Like, if this was E3 and it was like PlayStation's big reveal, I would have been super let down. Because like, it's like you said, also off camera, you're like, there's no dates for any games.
There's none. I mean, there was only like maybe launch day. I'm talking about like launch.
Yeah.
Maybe like one first party, maybe another one for third party. That's it. Everything else is like, no.
It's not ready yet.
Dates. Zero. So Sony, they're known to do that.
Yeah.
Buy our console here. Here's Final Fantasy. It comes out in 6 years. Like,
you don't know, get me started on that game.
But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, they've done that so many times and people fought for it. I don't know, man. Like, PlayStation fans is different. Like, they don't care. You got me hyped. I'm excited. And they'll buy the system and wait for years.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6 years until it come out. That's the only issue that I have with Sony. They make great games, amazing games. Uncharted, Horizon, God of War. I could keep on. The list is freaking long.
Jack and Daxter. Should have been Jack and Daxter, not Ratchet and Clank. That's my only problem with the... I wanted the Jack and Daxter.
So you're more of that?
I mean, they're both very similar games. Like, yeah. I just think Jack and Daxter is just way superior to Ratchet and Clank. That's just me. And it also comes from Naughty Dog, which is like one of the best developers of all time.
Love the story.
You know, they went from Crash Bandicoot to Last of Us. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I'm totally with you. Like, I remember when PlayStation 3 came out, right? And they debuted the demo was Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, and it was a tech demo.
So I want you to think about that, right? It's actually more than 6 years we've been waiting for this game. We've been waiting like 14 years for this one game to come out, right? And this has nothing to do with the conversation we're having. But maybe you can... Did you play Final Fantasy VII Remake?
No, I haven't because I sold my PlayStation and my idea is I buy a PlayStation 5 and I'm going to get all those games compatible for that. That's what I'm... I even have Shenmue unwrapped. Like, I have it for the PlayStation 4. I'm going to play the PlayStation 5.
So here's one thing I love that Xbox has decided to do, right? It's that whatever game you buy on the console... It upgrades up, right? Like you'll have it on Xbox.
Smart delivery,
right? You already have it.
Enhance.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, Sony didn't say anything about that.
They haven't said anything. They only said that you could play PlayStation 4 games on. My question is, what happened if I buy it digitally?
Ooh.
Can I still re-download that?
No.
They haven't said anything about that.
No, it's probably still going to be a fact. No.
He's like, well, you could buy it. Unless it's physical, then you could do that.
Sony is so notorious. Okay, when we started this last generation, they came in strong. They said, all right, we're going to see what Xbox is going to do. Wait, what? What, to borrow? You can't lend people games? Or like, oh, nah, yeah, we're not doing that. This is how you lend games. They had the greatest like PR out of E3. It was like, yo, PlayStation is the thing.
The crowd went nuts, yeah.
It doesn't sound like anybody's having that reaction with this. And I think both consoles... are just not innovative enough. Well, smart delivery is innovative.
I don't know, man. Xbox has been very innovative, like with certain things, like not the console, but more of like Project X Cloud.
Yeah,
that
their services.
Their services is like, holy, I think that to me is next gen for Xbox. Yeah. It's not.
That's true next gen.
Yeah, true next gen. It's not all graphics and that's it. It's more than that. With PlayStation 5. It's a 3D audio, and I think more of like the development side that I'm not really into because I'm not a developer.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about as a gamer consumer, like what is next gen for PlayStation besides that?
Yeah, just better looking games.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's about it.
Which is just like, you know.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, it's not at all.
There's nothing wrong with
it. It's just that when your entire console is like, why I would buy your console is based on, okay, like what are you bringing unique to the table? Mm-hmm. Like what is special? Nothing is special about this PlayStation 5 yet.
Yeah,
maybe we'll find it.
There's still time.
Still time
to launch.
Like when Xbox came out with their thing, you know, they told you everything straight up. This is what we're gonna do. This is what's gonna happen. This is what we're focusing on. So like they made a very strong statement on this is the future of Xbox. Right? We don't know what the future of PlayStation is. And we both know that they were like waiting to reveal their thing just to see everything Xbox did. It's like, oh yeah, let's see what they do, and then.
Well, but you're also gonna understand Xbox is like. Second, third place, and they're going all out. When you're not in first, you do a lot of things that nobody else is doing. Yeah. So I get it. PlayStation, they're comfortable. Like, look, people are going to buy it, which is true.
Yeah.
That brand is so powerful. The studios that they have first party is powerful.
You know, it was funny that if we go back a couple years, they were like in fourth place when they were PlayStation 3.
Not, I want to say fourth place.
Okay. But Xbox 360 was definitely number one.
I think it was Wii was number one.
Wii, then Xbox.
Then Xbox, yeah.
Then PC. Then PlayStation.
I think PlayStation 3 started really bad.
Yeah.
But at the end of that generation, it went up. The Last of Us, Uncharted, like it went, it boosted up big time.
Yo, but how many years it took to get to that?
It took a while, but you know, here's the thing, man. Like, and that's the thing that I don't want to see this from other companies in the future. When you're in first place and you get too comfortable and you do whatever you want because you think people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
PlayStation 3 came out. That thing was expensive as hell.
$600.
You need to get two jobs in order to buy this system. Who the hell says that, yo? It's ridiculous. 2020. They better not pull that crap off.
What's the price for you then?
For this, for the PlayStation 5? Personally, for me, I think it's not going to be cheap. I think it's either $450, $499, the digital version.
Mm-hmm.
$550, $599, the disc version.
That is such robbery.
People are going to buy it.
No, they're not.
Are going to
like.
Come on, Gabe, are you trying to tell me that nobody's going to buy a PlayStation 5? Are you out of your mind? They are going to buy it. I think they're going to buy the digital version.
more, yeah, because it's $450. Yeah, more. Yeah, it's not gonna be $399.
That $600 one nobody's buying.
You'll be surprised, man.
It's not gonna move units. Like the fair price, right? The real fair price. If you really want to sell a lot of these, is to keep it at $500. Like $450 for the non-digital, $500 for the $500 for the non-digital, well, for both, and then $450 for just the digital. Because mm-hmm. that's when you think about it, right? You're saying like at $599, you're getting this console. You're actually spending like $650 plus because of all the taxes that go into it. You're spending almost $700. You might as well build a PC at that point. Yeah. There's no reason. Why would you spend $700 on this console?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but I, dude, people bought the PlayStation 3 when it came out, and that was even more expensive.
Not enough. Not enough. I know. I was one of the idiots. I learned my lesson.
The launch titles? Weak.
Weak? Lair? when I saw Lair, I was like, this is going to be the game changer right here. I played Lair. I was like,
what is this?
They got me, bro. Then they had Metal Gear Solid 4, which was the only good game for a while. And I was just like, yes, this is great. Yeah. It was so bad. Yeah. I'm getting that feeling right now with these games. You know
what? For those who are listening, please hit us up. Fanmail at Gamertag Radio and let us GamertagRadio.com. Let us know your thoughts. Are you going to buy a PlayStation 5?
You're not.
Gabe says no.
Don't do it.
I think people are still going to buy a PlayStation 5.
You don't want
to
do it.
Not buy an Xbox.
Take your $600 and go take a trip somewhere and have an experience. Do not waste it on a freaking PlayStation 5.
Wait until the price goes down.
Wait, get the PlayStation 5 Slim when they change that ugly ass design. Wow. Please. Wow. Like fold it up.
You know that's going to be like 3-4 years from now. I don't see that changing.
You know, I think I know why the design was so bad.
Okay.
Because it's actually supposed to close.
Close.
So when you look at it, right, you see it, right? It's got the two white things that go up, right? It's open. It's like a collar, right? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to close. Like you understand what I'm saying? It's supposed to close. Supposed to fold down.
Yeah.
So like it opens when you put a game in, but when the game is like booted, it closes.
That
would change everything right there.
That's a game changer right there.
That, like, yo, if it just goes, yeah. Now you're talking about like hydraulics in your console. Now you're talking about lowrider. Now we're talking about something real right now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Gabe, mention your Twitter account.
Also
the podcast one more time.
Yeah.
If people want to subscribe and listen to your show.
Danny's cutting me off early.
No, because we went over. But
we went over. Oh, went over the time?
Yeah. Okay. I usually have a 30-ish.
30-ish. He keeps it concise.
Yeah. So Gabe, mention website, podcast, and make sure people subscribe to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And what days it comes out.
Okay. So the show is called Super Late at 368. You can find it anywhere on iTunes, Spotify, maybe. Anchor.
It is on Spotify.
Anchor. You can check it out also on our YouTube channel. Just type in Stitcher too. Literally, you can find it anywhere by just putting 368, the number 368, just how it's spelled. You'll find everything. The show specifically, we go live on Twitch every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it goes on to about 8:30-ish, depending on if we have like a really good guest. Sorry, I'm about to just like burp into the mic. And the show goes on for about an hour or so. The VOD and audio version comes out Friday or Saturday. After that, you can follow us on all socials at 368. And you can follow me if you, for some reason, want to follow me after this call, at Gabe Olivero, GABEOLIVERO. So Gabe Olive Oil, if you want to say it like that.
Yeah.
We talk about games. We talk about sometimes culture, some dumb stuff that's happening in Twitch. Who's like the dummy of the week? That's great stuff, you know. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm definitely gonna put the link of the podcast and your Twitter account on the description of this episode, man. So Gabe, I just want to say thanks. And also follow 368, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I said that, but yes, follow 368. Follow. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Type in 368. It'll come up. If you are in New York City, we are at 368 Broadway. Clearly, right now we are not like taking in visitors unless you're like tight with the family and it's like you got to do something. But in the coming months we'll try to open back up and be a little bit more accessible to people. I want to make it more accessible to people. I think that's important. New York City needs to have more access to things like this. And 368 Broadway, New York City.
Let's go, man. All right, Gabe, thanks a lot, man.
Oh yeah, thank you to the sponsors, Bark Thins, for bringing us
later.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so thank you for listening to my interview with Gabe. That was a great conversation. Yeah, he's wild, man. Shout out to Gabe and Ida and Paul, Brandon, everybody from 368. It's a lot of fun going over there. Look, if you've been watching our stream on Twitch, that's where I've been streaming. It's from there, from the studio, and I'm planning to do other things in the future, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. And remember, in a couple hours at 12 a.m. Sunday night, I'm going to release the next episode. And that's with Tony Polanco. The Polanco Cut Part 2 continues. And this one is about PlayStation 5. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.